talk briefly about pain, and then provide opportunities for you to share. If you saw the email, I'm going to pass the mic around and opportunities for you to give praise to things that God has done, the way you've seen his goodness and his love. But to lead us into that, what are situations or experiences that bring us pain? What are some of these things? When you're sick, certainly. Yeah, and sometimes the sickness just slows us down, and sometimes it's a real deep pain. Yeah. What else brings us pain?
Rejection.
Yeah, many places that we can experience rejection. Yeah. Loss. Yeah, so the loss of a loved one, the somebody dying and they're not with us.
Being unnoticed.
Certainly. Yeah, that can certainly bring a pain of feeling invisible or uncared for. What else might bring pain?
Relationships.
Certainly, yeah, relationships. Many ways that we feel it deeply. Sure, so the love of people who are in pain, and that is a real pain it brings us. Many ways in which we experience it. And one comment I want to say is that I expect in a group like this on any morning, a whole bunch of us carry deep pain. There are things that whether spoken or not, it's a reality. And one of the things that we want to do is to grow as a people and how to allow for that to be a part of who we are together, so that pain is something we can share, not just something we need to come and present ourselves in a good situation, because pain is real. How can pain sometimes be a good thing? How can it work for good? What might happen that says, well, this pain actually has a good effect? How could that be? Exercise, yeah. So if I don't remember that feeling very well, but there have been times I remembered, yeah, good pain of exercise leads to greater strength. Yeah, other ways that pain could lead to be a good thing. Sure. So it and maybe especially helping us realize we're not. pain helps us see his control and not ours. How else could pain actually be a good thing?
Well, it helps us persevere.
Excellent. So many wonderful ideas there. Yeah, the good of God's work in the midst of our pain and awareness of his presence and realizing he's doing a good work through it. Other thoughts? Right, right. The getting a good diagnosis of what's not right. And pain often tells us something's not right. And that's an important thing, right? So many have said that if children didn't know pain, all sorts of bad things would come as they continue to hold on to something very hot. Right? And if we didn't know pain, we wouldn't know there are times we need to redirect our activity, our behavior. I want to think for a few minutes this morning about how God might be using pain and trouble in our lives to bring about his good. Let's ask him to speak. Father in heaven, we come as a people who have so much to rejoice in and to be thankful for. And also we're a people that has a lot of pain. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak now, especially in the hearts of those who are very aware of the pain, of the trouble, that you would speak, that we would have the courage to listen, and that you would do a good work, that you would bring a good healing through your spirit, through your word. We thank you. Amen. So the title, Tell God's Story in Your Life, we're in Psalm 107. And we'll get some Bibles coming up. If you don't have one, you'll want to have that in front of you. It's actually a little bit longer psalm, which mostly I'm just going to read. But let me say a couple of words as you get that. There's a lot of poetry in the Bible. I won't ask you to say if you like poetry or not, or if you get poetry or not. Some of us, poetry is like a second language. Well, both ways, I guess. For some of us, it's almost like it's a first language, and for others, it's like a language that I just heard about, a language that has, a dozen different tones in it, and I just think, that's poetry can sometimes feel like that to me. I don't immediately get it, but it's a really important part of reading the Bible. Let me say a couple of things. So I took this screen dump from Bible Gateway. which is where I get a lot of resources for doing the Bible online. This is, the New International Version. The first thing in the Psalms that catches my attention is that it says this is, I'm going to get this right, that this is book five. And so the Psalms, there are 150 chapters, but are broken up into five books. And usually I completely ignore that. But there's an interesting structure to them. They're different themes. This psalm is the first one in the last book. Now, a key thing about poetry in the Bible is parallelism. So I grew up knowing so much about poetry as about rhythm and rhyme. And there is a little bit of that in Hebrew, but the most important thing is in parallelism. And you can see it when the lines come in pairs, right? It's not like a paragraph. As soon as it's structured this way, the people who laid out that Bible want us to know this is poetry. This isn't just normal prose text, right? It's not just a story. This is poetry. And these two lines very often can be a restatement, or it could be a contrast, or it could be an expansion. So you can see it in the first two lines. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That second line is a restatement and maybe an expansion of saying he is good. So when you see this, start to think poetry. So when you see poetry, what should you do? Well, I've learned I should expect poetry. What do I mean by that? Well, the first thing is something like personification. So in poetry, we'll call something a person that's not actually a person. So like in the psalm, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Sometimes I'm aware of somebody that I say, here's somebody who's acting like a foe to me, like an enemy. But very often I don't have that, right? The enemy is sickness. The enemy is myself. The enemy is other things. And that's exactly how we should read a foe when reading the psalm. I don't say, well, nobody's out to get me, so this doesn't apply to me. No, actually, this can apply to anything that seems to be attacking me. Because it's poetry, it's personified something that is bad, that is negative. We should expect symbolism, right? So it's not literally saying what necessarily it means. And so in this psalm, it talks about those he gathered from the lands, from the east, west, and north, and south, from desert wastelands, right? These are symbols. They can be literal, but many of us live in desert wastelands as a symbol, right? We live in a place where we feel the lack of nourishment, of refreshment, of God in the presence of people. We feel like we live in a desert wasteland. So that's how we should read it. Let me say one interesting thing here that's not obvious. In Hebrew, the word south is actually sea. We'll see that turns out to be but like a big lake. And it's in the translations, it says south. And so we'll see the sea come up shortly as a symbol. And then the last thing is that one thing can often stand for many similar things. And so, for instance, this psalm talks about being hungry and thirsty. And it does apply to being hungry and thirsty, but it applies to many things that are like this, right? So when we read poetry, we have to put on our poetry hat and say there's going to be symbolism, there's going to be personification. And in many ways, it is appropriate to read this very broadly and say, I don't literally fit what it's talking about, but figuratively, symbolically, I do. So here is the psalm, the structure of the psalm, and just briefly read through it. So Psalm 107, the first three verses, says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Very simply, the psalmist starts out by calling us to give thanks to God. Right? He says, we should be giving thanks to God. Why? And he answers his question. Because he is good. His love is steadfast and enduring. Here's a command, he says, we need to give thanks to God. And here's why. Because God is good, and because his love is steadfast and enduring. Now, what he does, although maybe what she does, whoever the author is, we don't know, is to give repeated stories. And I'm just going to read these. He gives four different stories to tell us examples of people who have done this, who give thanks to God. So starting with verse 4, let me just read through verse 9. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. He says, here's one of the stories I want to tell you. There were people who were out away from a city, and this is a place without protection, without provision, and they were lost. They didn't know where to go, so they cried out to God. And so he gives this simple structure that's a repeated pattern. We start out with people who are in trouble. And out of the four stories, we see sometimes the trouble seems to be just natural trouble, like sickness. It's just a part of being human in a broken world. Sometimes the trouble is their own sin. And sometimes the trouble is somebody else's sin of evil in the world. When they're in trouble, they cried out to God for help. The regular pattern. People are in trouble. They cry out for God's help. And God delivered them. And so he says, if that happens, give thanks to God for his love in action, for God provided. So let's read another one of the stories. Verse 10. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So here you see explicitly, they did what's wrong. They deserve this, right? And so here's what happened when they did what's wrong, verse 12. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. One thing that's interesting in this story is you can see how explicitly the trouble that they had is answered in God, of the gates being broken, the chains being broken, of being taken out of darkness. So then the next story, verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed or they hated all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Again, people who were rebellious against God, and they had trouble because of that. Yet, they cried out to God for deliverance, and he did it. He rescued them. And so he says, give thanks. And in fact, he says, now come and give offerings of praise to God. And so then the last of the stories, verse 23. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven or port. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. I'll say two words about this. One is, another thing in poetry is to give two extremes, and it's supposed to apply to everything in the middle. So what was true about the first story? Where were the people living in the first story? In the desert wastelands, right? No water. Now, in this story, where are the people? They're swamped, they've got far too much water, right? So the psalmist says, in one extreme, there's no water at all. In the other extreme, there's so much water, I'm going to drown. This is a technique that says, and so everything in between, this applies. The other thing that's surprising is Jewish people weren't sailors. They didn't do this, right? They weren't experts at the sea. Jonah is a story of somebody who went to the sea to get away from God because this is a godless place. And so it's surprising that this is a story that is used to talk about people who cried out to God and he delivered. And so he does. So they follow this story. The trouble, they cry out, they give thanks when God delivers. So then a change of pace and we get a hymn of praise, verse 33, of the God. And I'll put this up first, that God can bring prosperity and poverty. So look to him. So see how God does this. Verse 33. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground. and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. You see this action of God who can turn what seems like abundance that'll go on forever into a wasteland, or from trouble that seems like it'll go on forever into a wonderful place. He has this power. So the psalmist says, look to him, right? Cry out to God when you don't have what you need. When you do, look to God and give him thanks. This reversal, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, was the greatest king at the time, Nebuchadnezzar. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. He is a God who can bring trouble to bring humility, to say, I want you to cry out to me because you don't have the power that you need to live. So when I look at this section, it is very clear. He says, in our troubles, cry out to God in Christ. Cry out to God when you have trouble, and he will rescue because of his goodness and unending steadfast love. So this is a wonderful thing God does in pain and in trouble, is he convinces us we should cry out to him. We should call to him so that when we look to him, he will bring his goodness, his steadfast love. So I just want to say that our troubles may continue for a time, right? This doesn't say as soon as you cry out, it's all good. But here's what we know, and this has been made reference to already this morning. God's life-giving, joy-giving spirit will be with us, even in the midst of the trouble. One day we have the confidence that the trouble will be gone completely, forever. And very often relief is not far away because God is generous. Very often we do experience his kindness in rich ways that we enjoy. Not all the time and not right away, but we're confident that he'll be with us. And one day that trouble will be gone forever in his presence. So the application is really easy. It's not easy. It's easy to understand, a challenge to do, but when in trouble, cry out to God. When he does that, give thanks to God. And then tell others of his goodness and his love. So we're going to take some time now just to let people to do exactly what that says and to say, I give thanks to God because I had trouble, and yet God was good. And as you hear it, recognize this is giving praise to the God who helps us in our trouble, to encourage those of us who continue in that trouble, to say together, he is one who provides. Because the psalm starts, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So I invite you now, and I'll bring the mic to you if you would like to share something, to tell us the story of God's goodness and his love in your life. Thank you. And I expect that's true, that there are many stories that either time or our own emotions, now's not the time to be able to share it, but let's respond together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed to the Lord tell their story. We'll stop here for now today. We'll have additional opportunity, but also don't let this be the only time. If you told a story today or you wanted to, find somebody this week and tell them the story, right? Let people know. The last verse, which you might have noticed, I stopped before reading the last verse of the psalm. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. As we respond to what we've heard today, to be wise, are you in trouble? Clearly, cry out to God for help. He's a God who hears, a God who helps. He will provide. The story isn't done yet. And has he rescued you? If he has, thank and praise him. And then be sure to tell others about his goodness and love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for all the stories that we heard and the additional stories we have not of your goodness in trouble. So, Father, I pray right now for the people who are in the midst of the trouble and would love to be able to stand up and say, here's how God delivered me, but I don't see it yet. Father, give them strength to put their hope in you, to know that you are good, that your love is steadfast and enduring. Show us how to walk together, to encourage each other, to have the strength to put our hope in you. For you are faithful, for you will provide. We thank you. Through your Son we pray. Amen.